Welcome to episode 234 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 4. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. The people of the church at Corinth are very interested in spiritual gifts. They're particularly eager to be able to speak in tongues. But Paul emphasizes sharing messages that build up the church. On Thursdays, we explore scriptures from the book under study that we believe will help to build you up individually and collectively. Check out our website for a recommended list of 300 verses to memorize. That list includes 14 passages from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To those who reject the salvation of the cross, the idea of being saved through the work of a crucified man is foolish. The words message of the cross sound noble and religious to our 21st century ears. But in the first century, saying message of the cross was about the same as saying message of the electric chair or message of the gas chamber, except worse. What message does a cruel, humiliating, unrelenting instrument of death have? No wonder it is regarded as foolish by the perishing. Though it is a strange message and regarded as foolish by the perishing, to those who trust in it and are being saved, this message of the cross becomes to them the actual power of God. There is inherent power in the preaching of the true gospel when it is received with faith. The hearing and trusting of the true gospel will bring the power of God into your life. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 31. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Paul uses this reference to Jeremiah 9 verses 23 to 24 to show that God did it all this way so that God would get the glory. The path for God's glory is Christ crucified. The evidence of God's glory is his choice of the lowly. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This wisdom comes by the Spirit who is from God, not from the spirit of this world. Since every believer has received the Spirit who is from God, every believer has the access to the spiritual wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. In the first of these two verses, the emphasis is on the church as a whole. In the second, it is about individual Christians as temples. We need to be careful to not defile our bodies or to defile the church. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies belong to God. And not to ourselves. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. We often want to excuse our particular tempting circumstances as very unique and a special exception. But God reminds us that our temptation is not unique. Many other men and women of God have faced the same or similar temptation and have found the strength in God to overcome that temptation. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is what the world needs now. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Everything else is fleeting. Love remains. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Childish things are appropriate for children, and the gifts are appropriate for our present time. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit may not be appropriate forever. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Enough said. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul's point here. I didn't make up this gospel message. It was planned from all eternity, described prophetically in the Scriptures, and then given to me, and indeed given to me by Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Beware of your companions. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Even if your labor is in vain to everyone else, and everyone else discounts or doesn't appreciate what you do for the Lord, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you get the praise or the encouragement. Sometimes you will, and sometimes you won't. But resurrection means that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here are three more passages that did not make the list on our website that gives you a total of 17 for the book. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? We are called out of the world. We ought to act as those who are not still worldly. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We sometimes get really hung up on the wrong things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We get spiritual gifts so that we may bless others, not so that we can get puffed up. This was a hard lesson for the Corinthians to learn. Is it a hard lesson for us? There we have it. 17 passages from the book of 1 Corinthians. But besides these verses that we have highlighted, consider reading more as a part of your personal study. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. May it fill our hearts today and transform us so that we will be obedient to your will. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.